You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Christ to become abusive, he took out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. Many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centuria because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is in God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out there and travelled from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man and with a thorough knowledge of scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only what the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of God.
Bibles up to Acts chapter 18 on page 1114. That's going to be helpful. And also you've got your talk outline that was in your service sheet when you came in. So we're looking at Acts chapter 18 on page 1114. And let's pray as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are a speaking God who speaks through your word. Guide us this morning by your Spirit as we look at Acts chapter 18 to be encouraged to keep living and speaking for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can I ask you this morning, how do you feel about sharing your Christian faith with others? Are you feeling discouraged or want to give up? Are you feeling excited about the opportunities that lie ahead? Maybe you've had a great week with a number of encouragements. Or maybe when it comes to sharing your faith, you feel like you're in a bit of a marathon, like the London Marathon last week. You may be feeling like you're hitting the wall, you're tired, and you want to give up. Perhaps you've been busy inviting folks to things this year. Maybe the Open Day back in September, or the Harvest, all-age service, or perhaps one of our carol services that we had at Christmas. Perhaps no one has come, or perhaps people have promised to come and then not shown up. Perhaps you invited people to our Risen film showing just before Easter, or to one of our Easter services, and again, no one has come. Perhaps tomorrow you'll be with us at the Spring Fair, and despite your best efforts, maybe you're not able to talk to many folks, or maybe the conversations you do have don't seem to go anywhere. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you just want to give up. Well, let our passage this morning be an encouragement to you. Our passage this morning is an encouragement not to give up on sharing the gospel. And we need that encouragement. You need it if, like me, you've tried to be a Christian witness to family members for years and years and nothing apparently has happened. You need it if you're trying to lead a Christian union in your school or college and the powers that be are making it harder and harder for you. You need it if you've invited people to Christianity Explored and they've never come. Or if they did come, they stopped coming after a few sessions. This passage is going to help us today. So would you turn in your Bible to Acts 18 if you've not done so already? And let's just remember kind of where we're up to in this book of Acts so far, because we've not been in it for a while, have we? There's a map up on the screen, which you might or may not be able to see. We're picking up here in Acts chapter 18 on Paul's second missionary journey. You know where he goes out on journeys around the Mediterranean telling people about the Lord Jesus? In Acts chapter 17, we see the Apostle Paul arrive in Thessalonica after he'd been illegally accused, flogged, and jailed in Philippi. That's kind of up in the top corner, up around here, okay? Kind of Turkey-ish. In Thessalonica, the opposition organizes a lynch mob to get Paul so that he has to be smuggled out of the city by night. He goes on to Berea, but the opposition in Thessalonica get wind of it and organize another mob that forces Paul to flee from there too. So he lands up in Athens for a breather. But he can't help sharing the gospel there either, can he? Which results in him being hauled in front of the Athenian council, who are hostile to anything they think is going to kind of change or upset their religious peace. So by the start of Acts chapter 18, if anyone is a likely candidate for giving up, it's the Apostle Paul. He's not been having an easy time. But he doesn't give up. And in this part of his word, God is saying to us, I want you to learn from this man's example, from the fact that he didn't give up. And more importantly, for the reason why he didn't give up. We're going to be encouraged this morning not to give up because God is building his church. And we're going to look at the chapter in two kind of chunks, okay? Firstly, don't give up. God is with his people and he uses them to bring others to faith, even in the face of opposition. So let's have a look down to verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So, Paul leaves Athens and he heads to Corinth. Now, regarding Corinth, we've got quite a lot of information on them, haven't we? Because we've got the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote about going to Corinth. He wrote this: "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." What was it about Corinth which caused Paul to fear and tremble? Well, Corinth was a prosperous and prominent port in the Roman province of Achaia. In fact, it was its capital, for its gross immorality. And it must have been the pride and the immorality of the Corinthian people which intimidated Paul, because the cross of Jesus comes into a direct collision with both, doesn't it? Immorality, pride. Jesus has got something to say about both of those things. Yet, even after his Athenian experience, Paul doesn't give up. And as was his custom, each Sabbath, we see in verse 4, he went into the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks about the Lord Jesus. And whilst Paul does this, he partners with two Christians, doesn't he? Priscilla and Aquila, who have come over from Rome. Well, in fact, have been kicked out from Rome. There's opposition for them too. And he makes tents with them as a way of earning a living, which enables him to be free then to preach. But soon, more people come and join the important work in Corinth, because Corinth was a really strategic place to do ministry because of its influence and its location. Then, let's have a look down to verse 5. "When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protests and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" So Silas and Timothy come along, don't they? And they join the efforts in Corinth. "And when Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia, after visiting Berea and visiting Thessalonica," kind of on their way, "they brought a gift with them." So they brought not only good news of the church in Thessalonica, about their faith and their love, but also a gift, which we can read about in Philippians chapter 4. This gift meant that Paul no longer had to work as a tent maker, so he was free to preach kind of full time. And that's what he devotes himself to. To preaching. We see that in verse 5, that Jesus was the Christ. Friends, let's not lose confidence in the power of preaching. God uses it. He did then, and he still does today. But did you notice what comes with preaching in verse 6? It's opposition, isn't it? The Jews he was talking to opposed Paul and became abusive, so Paul left and symbolically shook out his clothes. It's kind of like saying, "I'm not going to have anything else to do with you guys." We need to expect opposition when we preach too. This is one of the things that makes it hard, isn't it? Opposition is one of the things that can make us want to give up. So what does Paul do next? Does he give up? Well, no. You won't be surprised to hear he doesn't give up. So where does he go next? Which city or far-flung part of Europe does he go to next? Well, he goes... It's crazy. He goes next door. He just moves to the house next door to the synagogue. Have a look down at verse 7. "Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God." And verse 8 is amazing. "Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized." That's surprising, isn't it? Paul just goes next door to Titius Justus's house, and it's the synagogue ruler, Crispus, himself, and his whole family who believe. And not just him, many other Corinthians believed and were baptized. And that's just what we've been learning to expect in the book of Acts, isn't it? That the gospel is good news for the whole world, Jew or Gentile. So friends, don't give up. God is with his people and uses them to bring others to faith, even in the face of opposition. And did you notice, it was the opposition that God used to free Paul up to enable him to go next door. And that's where many are brought to faith. Friends, don't give up. God is building his church. But also, don't give up. God is in control. Look down to verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Paul here is encouraged not to be afraid, but to keep on speaking, to not give up, to not be silent. Why? In verse 10, Paul is encouraged that God is with him. And we see God's sovereign control as well, don't we? He knows there is opposition, but he reassures Paul to keep on going in his ministry. Paul is not to give up because God is building his church. Did you see that? At the end of verse 11, the Lord, which is Luke speak for Jesus, tells Paul that he has many people in this city. There are many people who will yet put their trust in him. Paul is not to give up. We see in verse 10 that God is with him, and he will use Paul to bring others to faith, even in the face of opposition. Now, for the Christian here this morning, you are not an apostle like Paul, but you do have God with you too, you know, by his Holy Spirit. So friends, don't be afraid. God is with you. So don't give up. Keep on sharing the gospel. Don't give up, even in the face of discouragement and persecution. I'm sure there will be folks walking around in Buxton and in the surrounding villages and areas who will put their trust in Christ. We don't know who they are yet, but we have to be faithful and share the gospel with them. God's message is unstoppable. Yes, God buries his messengers. We come and go, but never his message. The fact of God's sovereign control in the face of fierce opposition means that Paul never backs off in his ministry. And we are to follow his example. We are to persist despite opposition. So friends, I'll say it again. Don't give up. God is building his church. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, can I encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, that he is the Christ, just as Paul preached. Paul preached that Jesus is God's chosen king, sent to rescue his people from their sin. Life with Jesus is not easy. We face opposition, mockery, and hardship. But it is the best life, life the way it is meant to be. So come and put your trust in Jesus today. Believe that he is the Christ. Put your trust in this risen Jesus, whose resurrection and beating death we've just celebrated at Easter. So what happens next? Well, we see in verse 11 that Paul stays in Corinth for a full 18 months, teaching folks the word of God. Strengthened by his vision and the knowledge that God is with him, Paul doesn't give up, even though, as we'll see, things continue to be difficult. Because in verse 12, we see that the Jews make a united attack on Paul and take him into court. And in verse 13, they accuse him of breaking the law, don't they? Now, which law did they accuse Paul of breaking? Gallio, who was the proconsul, like the guy in charge at the time, understood them to be referring to what he called your own law, so like the Old Testament Jewish law. But the Jews knew, as well as Gallio, that debates about the Jewish law, they were beyond his jurisdiction. Gallio couldn't help with that. So those Jews who were accusing Paul must have been trying to make out that Paul's teaching was against Roman law, because they were claiming that Paul's teaching wasn't an authentic expression of Judaism. And Judaism was allowed as kind of an authorized religion. But Gallio knows what they're up to. He has nothing to do with it, and he dismisses the case in verses 14 to 16, just in line with the vision that Paul had received from the Lord Jesus. And we see that because of this ruling, Paul is free to stay in Corinth and preach. And we see in the first part of verse 18 that Paul continued to stay in Corinth for some time. So in these first verses of chapter 18, we've seen that we mustn't give up. God is with his people, and he uses them to bring others to faith, even in the face of opposition. Now let's have a look at verses 18 to 28, because in these verses, again, we're encouraged not to give up, as God uses his people to strengthen believers for their works of service. And in these last verses of this chapter, we get three great examples of God using his people to strengthen believers for their works of service. And the first is, unsurprisingly, the Apostle Paul. So, in verses 18 to 23. In verse 18, we see that Paul leaves Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila. And we'll have a bit more on them in a moment. He has his hair cut off, part of a vow that he'd had made. Now, we're not told the details about this vow, but those kind of vows, they were usually made either in thankfulness for some kind of past blessing, whether that was protection in Corinth, for example, or as part of like asking for future blessings, whether that's safekeeping on Paul's future journeys. We don't know. But another map here. Paul leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. And we're going to come to Ephesus next week in Acts chapter 19. Whilst in Ephesus, Ephesus is kind of just in the middle, just there if you can see it. So he's gone from Corinth to Ephesus, and he's on his way back on the end of his second missionary journey. Whilst in Ephesus, Paul preaches in the synagogue, where he's invited to stay longer. But on this occasion, Paul declines. Then in verse 22, we see that Paul's second missionary journey comes to an end as he returns to kind of base camp in Antioch, which is on the right-hand side. Just there. And look where he's been, and with God's help, what he's accomplished. It's a big old journey, isn't it? Then look down to verse 23, okay, as Paul's third missionary journey begins. So he finishes his second and starts his third in verse 23. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Paul works to strengthen the disciples, as we've already seen him do. If you're in the habit of taking notes, have a look when you get home, Acts 14, verse 21 to 22, Acts 15, verse 41, and Acts 16, verse 5. In all of those, 14, 15, and 16, we get reference to Paul strengthening the believers. What kind of strength is this? It's not biceps, of course. It's strength in the faith. We are to be strong in the faith and all that flows from it. What Paul wants to see is strength in thought, word, and deed. A strong understanding of God's word. Strong faith, hope, and love in all that we say and all that we do. To that end, Paul is relentless, isn't he, in his apostolic travels and teaching. Just in the space of these of verses 20 to 23, he travels about 1,500 miles or so, well before EasyJet. And that travel in itself is an expression of love and care, isn't it? Paul is revisiting places where he's previously evangelized and church planted because he loves them and is concerned for them. Paul's a great case study of strengthening the believers. God uses Paul to strengthen believers for their works of service. Well, what about Priscilla and Aquila? Well, we find out more about them in verses 24 to 26. God also uses them, doesn't he, to strengthen believers for their work of service. Now, we first met Priscilla and Aquila back in chapter 18, verse 2, didn't we? Do you remember that? When they arrived in Corinth, after they'd been kicked out of Rome because of their faith. Yet they didn't give up. they kept on persevering. And then we saw that they travelled with Paul to Ephesus. And it's in Ephesus where we see Priscilla and Aquila strengthen the believers. Have a look down at verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. What a great picture that is of a husband and wife working together to strengthen believers. In these verses, we also meet Apollos, don't we? Apollos, he was a learned man. He knew the scriptures. He'd been taught about Jesus, and he himself taught about Jesus accurately. But he didn't know everything. There were key gaps in his discipleship. This doesn't mean Apollos wasn't a Christian, but it does mean he didn't have the full picture. So Aquila and Priscilla, they help him out. They open their home to him and they fill in the gaps, explain to him the way of God more adequately. What a brilliant picture of strengthening God's people. And look at the fruit of it. Because Apollos himself then goes on to strengthen believers for their works of service. So let's look at Apollos in verse 27 and 28. Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, which is another name for the region where Corinth was. The brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos was keen to serve and to go wherever he's needed, so he heads back to Achaia, to Corinth, and he's ready to use his skills by vigorous engagement in public debate. And as a consequence of all of that, his life and ministry strengthens the disciples. Or, as Luke puts it, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Isn't that great? But not only that, he was active in evangelism, wasn't he? Vigorously refuting the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. What a great work to be involved in. Apollos, you know, he didn't take badly to people trying to help him out and teach him the gospel more fully. He was humble and he wanted to learn. And then he used his gifts to both strengthen others and share his faith with non-Christians. What a great case study. So, as we finish this morning, what then of us? What are we to learn from all of this? Well, we are to be encouraged to keep on going and not to give up. Paul had faced hardship. Priscilla and Aquila had lost their home in Rome. That rhymes. Apollos had to have some extra help. But all of them kept on going, didn't they? With God's help. They knew they should not give up because God is with his people. And he uses them to bring others to faith, even in the face of opposition. They knew they should not give up because God uses his people, even people like us, to strengthen believers for their works of service. And so, we should press on too. So Christian here this morning, don't give up. I know the church looks weak, but we can be confident that we are on the winning side, that the gospel is true and that God is building his church. So I wonder, who can you get alongside like Priscilla and Aquila did? Who could you open up the Bible with and explain the word of God more adequately to? Why not give thanks for those who have strengthened you? And now use that strength to help and build up others. That's why we're a part of the church, isn't it? To strengthen and encourage each other. And friends, let's press on with sharing our faith with those around us. The Spring Fair is an obvious application, isn't it? And we've already spoken about that today. Why not come and give it a go? Come and join us. Sign up and be a part of it. But the Spring Fair is going to be over at 5 o'clock tomorrow. What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about Thursday? What about the rest of May? Friends, don't give up. God is building his church. Let what we learn in Acts be an encouragement to you to keep going. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are in the business of building your church. Thank you that you choose to use weak people like us to bring people to faith and to strengthen believers for their works of service. Please help us all to be active in sharing our faith so that we may have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.